Good morning, everyone. You're listening to the World Teacher Program for Share International New Zealand on Planet FM 104.6. Each Friday morning, we bring you information from the teachers of the Ageless Wisdom. The purpose of our program is to introduce Maitreya, the world teacher for the age of Aquarius. Maitreya does not come alone. He brings with him the Masters of Wisdom, a group of highly evolved teachers. They work in many fields and can teach us the art of living, how to live in right relationship with each other. With their inspiration, we can transform our civilization, creating justice and peace for us all.
Good morning and welcome to the program. Today's theme is the late President Jimmy Carter. President Carter passed away in December of 2024. He was President of the United States from 1977 to 1981, and as you will find out in this program, he was an extraordinary individual. But firstly, I'm going to read to you an article from Benjamin Krem's Master, and this was from January 2016, titled Welcome to the New Time. Welcome, welcome to the new time, the new age of oneness. Many today are frightened by the onset of the new age, but let them look carefully at what is happening and they will see the coming together of some of the most gifted exponents of change. Currently, there is in the world a group of wise individuals showing humanity the new situation. Among others, Pope Francis is a unique expression of the people's ideal and close to his people. The Dalai Lama, too, is playing a powerful role on behalf of the people he represents. Never before has such a group of gifted representatives been gathered together at one time to show humanity that all is well, and that men everywhere have little time to wait to see the fulfillment of their dreams. They bless each day that passes and bring their love close to the hearts of men everywhere. Love them too in return and embrace them in the name of the coming one. Turn your fears into loving expectation and await the new time in the bliss which is yours by right. It is not long until you see the wonder of his face, until you know the joy of his presence and his love for all. Then you will know why you are an incarnation at this special time. God bless you and forever banish your fears. And of course, the coming one mentioned in this article is Maitreya, the world teacher. So, moving on to today's theme. In the December issue of Share International magazine were published two articles about Jimmy Carter. This was prior to knowledge of his passing, so very good timing. The first article is titled 100-Year-Old Jimmy Carter Shows Us What Courage Looks Like on Israel-Palestine. It's by Mustafa Baghouti, and he is the leader of the Palestinian National Initiative and member of the Palestinian Legislative Council. Jimmy Carter, the 39th President of the United States, who turned 100 this month, October 2024, has built a legacy of courage and moral clarity over his many decades in public service, fighting tirelessly for peace and human dignity at home and around the world. Now, as he nears the twilight of his life, we must take the time to reflect on one of his most courageous stances, his unwavering commitment to Palestinian dignity and self-determination. In 1996, President Carter stood with us, the Palestinian people, as we voted for our leaders for the very first time. Though the Oslo peace process had failed to deliver the independent Palestinian state we had hoped for, Carter believed that the act of casting our ballots was still vital, that it was a chance to build a future rooted in peace and justice. His presence in Palestine during that first election underscored our hopes for a brighter tomorrow, despite the heavy shadows of occupation and displacement. What makes Jimmy Carter's stance on Palestine unique is not only his moral courage, but the fact that he was once the most powerful man in the world. In 2003, as the separation wall began to snake across the West Bank, I met President Carter once again at the Carter Center's first ever Human Rights Defenders Forum in Atlanta, Georgia. There, I told him about the stark realities faced by Palestinians in the West Bank city of Qalqilia. 40,000 people encircled by concrete, with only one gate allowing them access to farms, medical care, and the outside world. A single gate that opened and closed at the whim of Israeli soldiers, sometimes remaining shut for days at a time. As I updated him on the situation in Palestine, I called it what it is: apartheid. The separation of two peoples based on ethnicity, with one dominating the other through systemic injustice. Carter listened intently and without judgment. Just 2 years later, in 2005, he had the opportunity to see the reality for himself when he returned to Palestine to observe the presidential elections, in which I was the leading independent candidate against Fatah's Mahmoud Abbas. During this time, President Carter witnessed firsthand how Israel, rather than building bridges to secure peace, was constructing walls. Walls that cut deep into Palestinian land. Walls that annex settlements and water resources. Walls that isolate Palestinians into enclaves. He also witnessed how, after a meeting we had in Jerusalem, the Israeli Security Service arrested me for no reason other than preventing me from talking to Palestinian voters there. It was during this visit, I believe, that it became clear to him that Israel was not preparing for peace, but instead consolidating control in ways that would make a two-state solution impossible. In 2006, Carter published the book Palestine, Peace, Not Apartheid, a book that shook the American political landscape. In it, he laid out a simple truth. Without Palestinian freedom and dignity, there could be no peace. He made the case not as an enemy of Israel, but as someone deeply invested in its survival. Yet, for daring to speak this truth, Carter was vilified. He was accused of being anti-Semitic and ostracized by many in the US and even in his Democratic Party. But Carter never wavered. He continued to speak the truth about the realities in Palestine, not out of malice for Israel, but from a deep belief in justice. He understood that the only way Israel could truly thrive was through a just peace with the Palestinians. He recognized that the Palestinian people, who have lived under brutal occupation since 1967 and experienced repeated displacement since 1948, were entitled to the same rights and dignity as anyone else. He recognized in later writings that it was my 2003 account of the situation in Qalqilia that made him understand the reality of apartheid in Palestine. What makes Jimmy Carter's stance on Palestine unique is not only his moral courage, but the fact that he was once the most powerful man in the world. As US president, he tried to open the road to lasting peace. He could not secure Palestinian self-determination during his one-term presidency, yet he refused to stop trying. In the decades since leaving office, he has turned every stone, searched for every possibility, to bring about a just peace for Palestinians and all the people of the Middle East. Now, as he enters his 100th year and tributes pour in to honour his many humanitarian achievements, we must not forget that he was one of the most important truth-tellers of our time. Carter was willing to see the brutality inflicted on the Palestinian people and refused to remain silent about it. That is a rare kind of courage, especially for a former US president, that should be recognized and remembered. The best way we can honour Jimmy Carter, his bravery and unwavering moral clarity, is to carry forward his commitment to equal human rights for all people. The Palestinian struggle for self-determination is not just a political issue, it is a moral one. As Carter always emphasised, the US has a special responsibility. Without American political and military support, Israel would not have been able to continue its ruthless occupation and apartheid against Palestinians or to commit the genocide in Gaza. As we celebrate and reflect on Carter's life and legacy, let us amplify his call for the US to be a genuine force for peace and justice around the world. Let us recognize, as Carter wanted, that peace in our holy land will only come when the rights and dignity of Palestinians are acknowledged and respected. Only then will we truly be able to honor his legacy and the values he stood for so bravely. So the second article published in the same issue is titled Jimmy Carter, A Life of Service, and it's by a group member by the name of Elisa Graf. In these tumultuous periods of political upheaval and uncertainty, many people look to their leaders, those courageous statesmen and women, championing human rights, standing up for peace in the world, rather than selling out to corporate greed or grabbing for authoritarian power. In short, leaders we need right now are those who align with Maitreya's priorities, who recognize the grave problems humanity is facing, and who see the service to the world they can achieve through their office, those who can unite us, not divide us. At the time that Maitreya arrived in London on 19th July 1977, the United States was being led by such a visionary leader. In January of 1977, Jimmy Carter was inaugurated as the country's 39th president. In a recent biography titled His Very Best, Jimmy Carter, A Life, writer Jonathan Alter explains that he chose to tell Carter's life story because, as he says, it might help light our way back to some sense of decency, accountability, and seriousness in our politics. Alter writes that Carter was probably the most intelligent, hardworking, and decent man to have occupied the Oval Office in the 20th century. And he goes on to say, if there is a gene for duty, responsibility, and the will to tackle messy problems with little or no potential for political gain, Jimmy Carter was born with it. Here, he says, is a moral exemplar for our times. Aside from promoting human rights worldwide, President Carter achieved many notable foreign policy successes in his one term in office. These include the Panama Canal Treaties, the Camp David Accords, which is the peace treaty between Egypt and Israel, and the SALT II Treaty with the Soviet Union, and the establishment of diplomatic relations with China. Domestically, his achievements included a comprehensive energy program, the creation of the Department of Education, and significant environmental protections, notably the Alaska National Interest Lands Conservation Act. With the founding of the Carter Center in 1982, he and his wife, Rosalyn, continued his tireless and wide-ranging work to promote human rights worldwide. Through the center, he made significant contributions to human rights advocacy, disease eradication and health initiatives, peace building and conflict resolution, women's rights and gender equality, environmental and climate justice, as well as supporting human rights defenders. In their private life, for many decades, Jimmy and Rosalyn Carter also volunteered 1 week a year for Habitat for Humanity, a non-profit organization that helps needy people in the United States and in other countries renovate and build homes for themselves. Jimmy Carter was awarded the Nobel Peace Prize in 2002 for his many decades of work to find peaceful solutions to international conflicts, promote democracy and human rights, and advance economic and social development. His mediation during the Camp David Accords between Israel and Egypt was highlighted as a significant achievement that contributed to his recognition. And then Elisa states two questions and answers by Benjamin Krem from the book The Reappearance of the Christ and the Masters of Wisdom. And the first question is Jimmy Carter being guided by one of the masters? This is from April 1995. Mr. Krem's reply, guided is not the word I would use, but he is certainly open to impression. If he lives long enough, I believe he will become one of a group of wise men, which will function as the future ruling committee of the United States. Actually, that question answer was from Maitreya's Mission Volume 2. This next one is from the other book I just mentioned. And the question goes as follows. On what level is Jimmy Carter? He seems to fit in with the level of program of activities of which you have spoken. He is a remarkable man and is reacting to the stimulus of the hierarchy. Much will come out of the actions of that man. It is not so much what he initiates as that he will be open to certain suggestions put forward by younger men trained by the masters. He himself is a highly evolved being, open to impression by hierarchy, consciously a man of spiritual intent, and with a great altruism. His coming into power in America at this present moment is, of course, no accident. You will see more and more younger men coming into positions of influence and power in all the major governments of the world. This is part of the plan for the reappearance of the Christ. They will be more sensitive and more responsive to the newer ideas. I hope you found that interesting. And of course, there are many other highly evolved people out there working either in full public view or behind the scenes to help in the transformations that are very much needed in our world. Pretty much all we have time for. If you'd like more information, check out the website share-international.org. We have recently updated it, well, recently as in about 2 years ago now, and we have quite a good range of information there if you have any questions about the background of information that we share in these programs. Otherwise, if you have a specific question or comment you'd like to share, you can email us at sharenz@yahoo.com. I want to thank you very much for listening and wishing you a lovely week.